Hello and welcome to the Food Connections podcast, the podcast that connects you with the food you eat. I'm Dr. Laura Wyness, a registered nutritionist with an interest in all things related to food and nutrition. I love learning more about the food we eat, how it's made, and getting to know the people involved in making our food. This episode is all about beans. I'm joined by Rica Gonzalez, who coordinates the Glasgow Food Policy Partnership, which is part of the National Sustainable Food Places Network. Rica's work includes the development of citywide partnerships and joint working projects that aim to make the food system in Glasgow more sustainable and healthy. She works as part of the team which oversees the development and delivery of Glasgow's 10-year food plan and leads on the citywide food economy and communications working groups. Rica has lots of previous experience working for many national healthy eating campaigns, undertaking public health research, delivering health-related events and conferences, and providing food education to various groups. She has a master's degree in nutrition, a postgraduate certificate in public health, and is an Association for Nutrition registered nutritionist in public health. Delighted that she's joining me today. Hope you enjoy listening. So I'm really excited this morning to be chatting with Rica Gonzalez, who did a lot of work on the Full of Beans campaign. So this podcast is all about beans. So Rica, how are you this morning?
Well, I am actually full of beans this morning. It's nice and sunny in Glasgow. Thank you so much for having me.
Brilliant. Did you have beans for breakfast this morning?
I did not have beans for breakfast this morning, but full of energy from other healthy food.
Excellent. No, good to hear it. I think last time we spoke was down in London. Actually, we bumped into each other at a Nutrition Society conference. And I think the rest of the time we've just been emailing and connecting on LinkedIn. I think that's how we kind of know each other, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, I've been following all the work that you've been doing with Nutrition Scotland and, you know, various other projects. So really good to speak to you again.
Yeah, I guess it's a small world with in nutrition, with connecting with fellow registered nutritionists. So good to chat with you this morning. So do you want to give a little bit of background, first of all, about, I guess, your career background and what you do in your role at the moment?
Yes, well, I coordinate the Glasgow Food Policy Partnership, which is a multi-sector partnership with partners from public, private and voluntary sector organizations. Most of them from Glasgow, some of them are also national. And we are part of the UK-wide Sustainable Food Places Network. There are around 160 other cities and places that are part of this network. And quite a large part of my work involves working as part of the Glasgow City Food Plan team. It's a 10-year plan, which kind of provides a framework for any food-related work in the city, and it aims to make the food system more sustainable, equitable, and healthy at a local level. So a lot of this work involves working with various partners and developing new projects linked to the food plan. And it also includes work on citywide campaigns like the Full of Beans and communicating the work of our partners and any sort of food-related developments. I've been in this role for about 7 years now. And before this, I worked on various food-related projects, including some national healthy eating campaigns. I've also managed lots of nutrition and health-related conferences and training courses and run cookery and healthy eating classes for lots of different groups, children, young people, old people, you name it, and have worked with some academics doing some nutrition research in the past as well. So always done something food related, really.
Yeah, and such a vast experience of kind of public health nutrition and, yeah, working in different sectors. I love it. And we chatted briefly before about one of the projects that you've been involved in, which is all about beans. So the Full of Beans campaign. How did that come about?
Well, I'm a bit of a bean enthusiast myself. So I had been following the global Beans is How campaign for a while. And I was then contacted by my colleague, Jenny McGilvery from the Glasgow Community Food Network and their Food and Climate Action team. She had just come back from a slow beans event in Europe, and she came back full of enthusiasm for beans. This would have been around October 2023. So we got together and thought it would be great to create a new campaign highlighting all the amazing benefits of beans. We had been running sort of vegetable-related campaigns in Glasgow before that I had been involved in. We then asked my colleague Talia Krukot, who is or was our Good Food Movement coordinator at the time, to come on board to create some really eye-catching materials for the campaign and some fun engagement and communications activities. As a partnership, we had been looking for fun ways to engage with people already, to involve them in supporting the actions of the Glasgow City Food Plan. So this campaign was kind of our way of doing that. And it linked perfectly with all the aims of our 10-year plan, including things like improved access to healthy, affordable food, increased understanding of the food system and how it links to health and environment. It also gave some opportunities for communities to cook and grow together. And we also managed to support businesses to become more sustainable through the campaign as well. So we decided to run with the idea and spent the rest of the year planning it. And it was launched at the end of January 2024. And it then ran until the end of September that year. So it was quite a, you know, quite a relatively long running campaign that allowed us to do quite a few different things.
Yeah, I love how you say it's kind of partnership working, and you were doing things focusing on the health aspect and the practical, the cooking aspect, and getting businesses involved. That sounded like that was quite a key, important component of it. Is that how you thought it would work?
Yes, we wanted to make it really easy for everyone to get involved in the campaign. So we didn't want to just concentrate on businesses or just concentrate on schools. We thought, let's bring them all together under the same campaign and see what happens. Maybe it was crazy, but that's what we did.
Because beans, I suppose the perception of beans maybe is that they are not that exciting. I mean, some people might not be as excited about beans as you are, but what did you find helped most about getting people more interested in beans or used to having beans in their foods?
Well, we did a bit of an evaluation about the campaign and how it did. And I think most of the attendees told us that they really liked the sort of hands-on experiences. They liked the cookery sessions we did and the bean growing sessions. We also ran a social media campaign as well. We asked restaurants to put beans on the menu, got many community organizations together. But what the attendees told us, or the participants told us, is that it was really those hands-on experiences that were most valuable and most exciting for them. We also created toolkits on how to get involved, how to, you know, communicate the campaign to other stakeholders and encourage people to put on their own events. But I think people are always more likely to come to events that, you know, people put on for them rather than to do it for themselves. So that's kind of, you know, if we were to run something like that again, I think the hands-on experiences is something that's very valuable for people.
Yeah, the practical experience. I suppose before we talk a bit more about the kind of evaluation, because I know you evaluated the Full of Beans campaign, what is the big deal about beans? What I know, like, we're both nutritionists and we know about the nutritional health benefits, but what are the kind of key messages about what are the benefits of including more beans? Why should we be having more beans in our diet?
Well, we kind of wanted the campaign to highlight all the multiple benefits of beans and pulses. We didn't just want to concentrate on one type of bean. You know, we included, you know, beans and pulses kind of all come under the same umbrella. And we wanted to get as many people in Glasgow to learn, not just to eat them, but how to cook and grow them as well and get them on as many menus and plates as possible. We wanted to promote them as a part of a healthy, planetary friendly diet. And the reasons for that were, firstly, that the Scottish diet is way too low in fiber and vegetables. I think you've seen the latest Scottish health survey highlights from about a week ago is that only about 1% of adults actually meet the fiber target of 30 grams a day, which is pretty shocking. And the vegetable intakes for both adults and children remain really low. So increasing the consumption of beans can, of course, it can help improve both fiber and vegetable intake. So it's a bit of a double benefit from the nutritional point of view. Secondly, the environmental benefits of beans are really important. About 30% of carbon emissions are derived from the food system, and beans have much lower carbon footprint than animal products. As an additional benefit, beans are really low cost, and the cost of living crisis that UK has been experiencing has increased inequalities and food poverty, making it even more difficult for people to consume a healthy, nutritious diet. So once again, consumption of beans and increasing beans in diets and replacing meat with some beans, for example, would actually help address this as well.
And the practical side of things, so what are your kind of top tips for helping people include more beans in their cooking? What type of thing did you do in the practical sessions that you had during the campaign?
I think my top tip would be not to talk about beans as vegetarian food or vegan food, because that can put people off. Lots of people perceive beans as something that is maybe associated with poverty, or some people think of them as hippie food. So we just talked about beans as, you know, the benefits of beans and how you can actually bulk up menu items and recipes with beans. So you can still use meat, but you can add beans and that way improve the quality and healthiness of the food and make you feel fuller, make your meal go much longer that way, if you like. But I think my top tip would be is that don't think of beans as just something that is for vegans and vegetarians. Beans are for everybody, and that's kind of what we tried to portray during the campaign.
And it's actually maybe quite a good way of trying to incorporate more beans in meat dishes as a gradual way of transitioning or to get more used to including beans. And I suppose different cuisines as well might have recipes or dishes that kind of incorporate a mixture. And we always talk about variety in the diet, which is key. So as you say, different types of beans is good to experiment with. Did you find people maybe are quite familiar with baked beans and the tomato sauce? You know, that's kind of the common thought, I suppose, when you first talk about beans is maybe those types of beans, but there are many others.
Yes, I mean, bean consumption in the UK is really quite low compared to the global average. And most beans are consumed as baked beans, which of course are full of sugar, full of salt. So not the greatest health-wise. But also, I suppose the other sort of really common Scottish way of eating beans is your lentil or pulses is your lentil soup, you know, your Scots broth. So people are used to eating pulses in that way. But if you think about it, trying to educate people about it's okay, you can actually use stews, beans can actually be your main course. That is not something that is part of the Scottish cultural heritage yet.
Yet, yeah.
But we are hoping to change the perception of beans, and so are lots of other people as well. Yes, so there's still lots of work to do.
Lots of opportunity. I mean, you did all this amazing campaign back in 2024, and you also did an evaluation of it as well. So I was wondering if you could talk about some of the learnings or what that highlighted as, you know, what worked well, what maybe didn't work as well. What did the evaluation show of the campaign?
Yeah, so we did this evaluation with the help of funding from the Scottish Alliance of Food, which was fantastic. And we managed to get Dr. Emily Armstrong from the University of Glasgow to evaluate the campaign for us. And the kind of her main findings were that people really loved getting into the bean action. So there were about 500 people that got involved in some of our live events. I was saying to you before that people really kind of loved the hands-on experiences. And those who attended, they said that the events were quite interesting, engaging, and informative. We also had quite a big social media reach, about 44,000 impressions. So people were quite interested in what we were doing. Obviously, we were only a small team, so there were only so many events that we were able to put on during the campaign. We also had 8 restaurants who put beans on the menu as part of the Global Beans on the Menu Challenge, which was fantastic. And Most of the attendees did tell us that they did add more beans to the diet as a result of the campaign, but they did prefer sort of charred, tinned or canned beans instead of the dried beans, just because they were more time consuming and a bit more impractical at the large scale, or, you know, you need a bit more skill to cook with dried beans. They can, of course, be more economic to buy, but then you might have to spend more money on energy and, you know, cooking them. But one of the successes of the campaign was definitely working with the Glasgow City Council School Catering. They developed new bean-based dishes, which now appear on all the menus for both primary and secondary school. So that's, I think, about 37,000 meals a day that they serve. Obviously, not all of those meals are beans, but they won a Scottish School Food Award for their involvement in the campaign. So that was definitely one of the big successes of the campaign.
So I was going to ask, how did the children take to the beans in the school meals?
Yes, well, they actually told us that it was very much about bringing children along to the journey. So they developed these recipes with the Food for Life team from the Soil Association. And they organized tastings with pupils from both primary and secondary schools in order to decide which recipes actually would work on the menu. So they added things like Mexican wrap with beans on the menu. So I don't think it's necessarily been easy. I think they have reported that if you hide the beans in dishes such as macaroni and cheese, they apparently work really well as a binding agent. So I think it's butternut squash with some butter beans. So the kids don't actually know that they're eating beans. So those kind of methods apparently work better. But what is really positive is that the team has told us that the campaign really influenced them to prioritize pulses and vegetables when developing any new menu items and when speaking to suppliers. So it's definitely going in the right direction. But it's not always easy to bring kids along with you with any new menu items, is what I hear.
Yeah, but no, that's good that you had a variety of menu options, and also that developing new menus, the catering at the schools are now thinking more about beans and when they're developing new recipes. So that sounds really good. Any other successes or things that worked well?
Well, one of the restaurants that took part in the Beans on the Menu challenge, they included seasoned butter beans as their monthly special, and they thought that they were very popular. They were on the menu for a month, and they sold about 1,200 portions of them over 25 days, which is, you know, quite a large portion for them. And they also highlighted that there were some benefits from a commercial perspective as well, because beans are not expensive. And if you use tinned beans, they were very easy for the chefs to use. So all you had to do is add some dressings and herbs, and you already had something pretty tasty, at the same time being nutritious as well. Also, some of the participating organizations, they told us that campaigns like this were really important to raise awareness of healthy food choices, especially for small businesses that don't actually have resources to run these campaigns themselves. So the ones that did participate, they kind of really took it on board and really ran with it, which was really good to see.
Yeah, it'd be great to see more beans on menus, actually, in restaurants and cafes, and always kind of looking out for kind of more beans in dishes. And I don't know if there's a difference between having actual bean dishes or just having dishes that incorporate a little bit of beans, because sometimes, you know, if you have too many beans in one sitting, there are consequences, a bit of excess wind, which is not very pleasant sometimes if you're not used to it. So yeah, maybe a little and often is better than one big bean dish on the menu type thing.
Yes, I completely agree with you. You don't have to have a fully bean-based dish. And I think just eating some beans most days, incorporating them in the dishes you would have already, is maybe the best way to go. And not just go all bean crazy all at once, because as you say, it might cause some. So I think it's, introducing things gradually is probably the best way. The other thing about the, you know, who had included beans on the menu, University of Glasgow, they didn't actually at the time have resources and time to devote to the campaign while we were running it. However, they embraced it after the campaign. So they have included beans in all their different catering outlets. There are quite a few around the campus, and they're quite proud of that work. So we are, you know, regularly meeting with their catering team to see how those dishes are doing. So they seem to be quite popular with the students.
Great. Well, that's good to hear. And you also did some work or activities around growing beans, is that right? So how did that go?
Yes, well, the growing part didn't quite go according to plan. So I'm not a grower myself, so I don't have the growing experience, but you can definitely grow some bean varieties in Scotland. And we did have some community gardens and some market gardens to take part in the growing trials. But 2024 was, of course, the wettest year of the century. So yeah. A lot of the growing trials didn't actually work at all. However, some bigger scale growers still managed to showcase some nice variety of different types of beans that they managed to grow in polytunnels and greenhouses. So it absolutely can be done. Our team also created a simple growing guide, which is in our Full of Beans storybook, which was created at the end of the campaign. And it includes instructions created with the Glasgow Seed Library on seed saving and growing some bean varieties suited for the Scottish climate. These include, I'm sure there are plenty of others, but in the growing guide, we have instructions for growing French beans, runner beans, dwarf beans, soybeans. So it definitely can be done. It's just that the weather wasn't the best growing year in 2024.
Yeah, but it's worth trying again.
Yes, it's definitely. And you know, as part of my work, I often visit community gardens. And just last week, I went to a garden and they were telling us how well some of the bean varieties grow there. So it definitely can't be done. It's just not done in Scotland as on a larger scale at the moment, for human consumption anyway.
Yeah, we certainly find that when we're developing the Scottish Eat Well Guide, when I developed that with Nutrition Scotland last year, we found commercially grown beans yet in Scotland is not a huge thing, apart from broad beans or fava beans, which are represented in the Scottish Eat Well Guide. But yeah, it'd be great to get some more beans commercially grown in Scotland, because they are, as you said earlier, they're good for the environment or the soil health. They fix nitrogen, is that right?
Yes, they fix nitrogen in the soil. Like, they also lock the carbon. So, and also they don't require as much water to grow as many other varieties. You need much more water to grow, to produce meat, for example, or some other grains. So they contribute much less to the global warming than animal products or some processed plant-based alternatives. There are, of course, plenty of those. And it's really good to see that the Eat Well Guide actually prioritizes beans rather than the highly processed vegetarian options or plant-based options.
Yeah, best to focus on the whole foods first.
Absolutely.
So great work with doing the work in the first place. Sounds a huge amount of effort to get all that collaboration and coordination required for the project, and then to evaluate it and figure out what you learned from it. It's all really important steps. So what are the kind of next steps, would you say? What's next on the bean agenda?
Well, the official campaign is finished. However, we managed to get some extra funding from the Adam Smith Business School at the University of Glasgow. So Emily, who did our original research, is actually going to do research a year after the campaign to find out the longer term effects. So they will be talking to our original campaign stakeholders to find out, have they managed to continue the work with beans what they did during the campaign, and, you know, what are they doing at the moment. And we're also putting on an event at the university for the campaign stakeholders and some new organizations who are quite interested in beans and were interested in the campaign. And we will showcase some other bean-related work that is happening in Glasgow and UK as part of that event as well. So the world of beans is quite small, really. So a lot of us said, you know, if you work on beans, we'll tend to know about it.
Yeah, it's great that, well, hopefully the attention is going to be shifting away from, it seems to be protein and everything at the moment in terms of the marketing and food products being marketed. But we do generally have enough protein in the diet, but fiber and beans seems to have been forgotten about. But hopefully that's going to change with projects like you're doing yourself. And I know Veg Power and the Food Foundation have just partnered up with Beans Is How as well to get the nation kind of eating more beans, which is a really exciting project just launching in November. So there's lots of stuff going on to get us eating more beans. Part of that project, you mentioned the Beans Is How project, which aims to double the global consumption of beans by 2028. I think reading some of the stats on Veg Power on their website about the bean campaign they're doing, as you mentioned before, we're not eating a lot of beans. On average, we eat about a third of a portion of beans a day currently, which is not very much at all. And surprisingly, over 40% of people don't eat any beans, which is really quite sad in a way.
We need to change that. We definitely need to change that.
Yeah, they're missing out on all the bean fun. So.
Yeah, so we felt really fortunate that we managed to partner up with the Beans Is How Global campaign. They were actually the first partner that came on board with the campaign. They said yes straight away, and we managed to use some of their campaign resources, which was really helpful since our team was only three people. We were, you know, there's only so much that we could do with the resources and staffing that we had. So that was really, really helpful. So they are working, of course, all over the world to boost the intake of beans. And they have run campaigns in all the different continents and big cities such as New York. So it's really great. They are doing something, a larger campaign in the UK as well.
And so to finish off, I just wanted to ask, I guess, a personal question and maybe to share with the audience, what is your favourite way to eat beans yourself? Or is there any particular bean dish that you like to have?
Well, I really love including beans into soups and stews. And I think one of the recipes I keep going back to, especially now that the weather's turning colder, is minestrone soup.
Okay.
The way that I make it kind of changes every time, depending what I happen to have in my cupboards. But I always include some kind of white beans. They can be butter beans, cannellini beans. It could be any beans, really. Tin tomatoes. You need some good stock, some nice herbs, and some kind of pasta. Once again, it could be anything you have in your cupboards. It could be macaroni or maybe broken up spaghetti and lots of vegetables. Once again, depending on what you happen to have in the fridge. So it's kind of, it's a good way to use up what you have in the fridge, actually. But, you know, carrot and celery work really well. Maybe some leeks and kale and caponero are in season at the moment. So they work really nicely. Maybe a bit of parmesan on top as well.
Oh, nice.
And the good thing about soups and stews like that is that most people have some of these ingredients in the cupboard already, so you don't necessarily have to go shopping for it. You could just see what you have in the cupboards and make it up as you go along.
Yeah, chuck it all in.
That's what I do.
Soup surprise.
That's right. As long as you add some beans, any kind of beans.
Yeah, and I love your idea earlier about this, like kind of the Scotch broth. It's a good traditional kind of Scottish soup that we have already, and just adding more beans to that. Great tips there. Thank you very much. Well, it's been fascinating, and I am absolutely full of beans now as well and totally buzzing after speaking to you. I will put all your links that you've sent me, some links to your project webpage, and I'll put lots of useful links about the things we've discussed during this podcast as well in the show notes. So do check them out, because as you mentioned, you've lots of great resources and recipes and things on the website to learn more about beans and how to grow them and how to enjoy them. So yeah, I'll include all that in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun talking about beans again.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks for listening to this Food Connections podcast. Do check out the show notes for some really useful links related to this episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to me if you could give the podcast a rating and leave a short review. It would really help others discover the show. If you know someone who might enjoy this episode, please do share it with them. I'd also love to hear from you. If you have any comments, guest suggestions, or if you'd like to sponsor the podcast, just get in touch. Thanks again for listening.